Good afternoon. You're listening to Wavelength on Resonance 104.4 FM and www.resonancefm.com on the net. My name is William English, and today's guest is DJ Hybridist, otherwise known as Sandra Cross. Good afternoon, DJ.
Hello, William. Good to be back.
Good, thank you. You're welcome to come back to do this. What should we call it? A mini series on the career of Stephen Sondheim.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And of course, we opened with the overture from West Side Story.
Yes, which Sondheim just wrote the lyrics for West Side Story. That's the music of Leonard Bernstein's incredibly stirring overture, isn't it?
And indeed.
It has lots of sounds, quite modernist, doesn't it, for want of a better word. It's got lots of phrases that, you know, hark back.
And that's, I suppose, that sort of the question is, why Stephen Sondheim? Is he sort of, I think he is described somewhere as being sort of experimental.
I suppose he does have that element to him. I do have an interest in musicals to a slight degree, which, like many people, comes from films, really, rather than actually live performance. It's him because he seems to be unique amongst writers of the form, musical. Yes, what's it called? They're called musicals or musical theatre, I suppose it's called.
Right.
So he's a continuation for me from things like Singing in the Rain and that sort of thing. You know, these stirring pieces which have everything in them. You know, you've got music, you've got song, you've got dancing, you've got the whole darn thing of individual accomplishment all coming together. And, you know, obviously there's good musicals and bad musicals, but he seems to me to be, and a lot of other people too, obviously, to be of great interest. Because
you don't actually like all of his stuff, do you? It has to be said.
No, there are things. Sometimes you know, he's very eclectic in the choice of material, and until he really gets going. And this West Side Story although he trained as a composer, it takes him a while before he is doing the lyrics and the composition. It's not until A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Forum, which hopefully we'll get to today, that he's able to combine each of his strengths.
What are the date of these, rough dates of these?
Well, West Side Story, apparently he was called upon, there is an anecdote to this, but maybe we'll get to that later. It's 1956 that he is chosen to write the lyrics for West Side Story. So that's West Side Story, and I think A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Forum is the early 60s.
But that was is that the stage production of West Side Story?
Well, the stage production apparently on Broadway was 1957. West Side Story, says here, opens on Broadway.
So the
film will probably come a bit later than that.
I think it's, what, sort of 1961 or something, starring Natalie Wood and George Chakiris, various other people. And that, what we heard at the beginning was from the film soundtrack, presumably. Okay, so where are we going to start with Sondheim's career? Well, we've already started, but how do you want to proceed with Sondheim's career, as it were?
Well, we could continue with a couple more tracks from West Side Story to get us going. The tracks that I've chosen are I don't know how familiar to any listeners there might be. They will be, but they will be less familiar, should we say, than Maria and Tonight, which two tracks which I find quite, I don't particularly like them. They're too sweet. Sondheim himself, in one of the two volumes of his lyrics, the first volume of which is called Finishing the Hat, collected lyrics from 1954 to 1981. Even he says he doesn't like Maria because the lyrics don't suit the notion of this character being a Puerto Rican. You know, Maria, she starts singing things like, I feel pretty, I feel so pretty, I feel witty and something and gay. And he actually draws attention to his own, whatever it might be. He finds it, you know, just fairly not really quite plausible that such a person would be singing such a lyric. And he likens it to, say, the lyrics of Noel Coward. He's, you know, suggesting that it doesn't really work as a song. So it isn't for that reason that I haven't chosen it, but it's a way of also expressing the fact that he's quite open about his own. You know, the way he feels about his own material. He's, you know, very, very open to the idea of opening it up and dissecting it after the fact.
Yeah.
So the two I've chosen are, the next one is called Something's Coming.
Okay.
And this is very muscular, dexterous, fast.
Yeah. Should we play that now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Day, I will know right away, soon as it shows. It may come cannonballing down through the sky, gleaming its eye bright as a rose. Who knows? It's only just out of reach, down the block on a beach, under a tree. I got a feeling there's a miracle, you're gonna come through, coming to me. Something's coming, something good, if I can wait. Something's coming, I don't know what it is, but it is gonna be great. With a click, with a shock, phone'll jingle, door'll knock, open the latch. Something's coming, don't know when, but it's soon. Catch the moon, one-handed catch. Around by holding still, it'll be there. Come on, something, come on in. Don't be shy, meet a guy, pull up a chair. The air is humming, and something great is coming. Who knows? It's only just out of reach, down the block on a beach, maybe tonight, maybe tonight, maybe tonight.
Something's coming, something good.
Yes.
Lots of sort of almost like baseball references, aren't there? He talks about a one-handed catch.
Oh, right,
and
yes.
And so on.
Yes. This is the part of Tony. I can't quite remember which part Tony is.
No.
Anyway, what Sondheim says about this song, and this is very quintessential Sondheim, describing his own efforts on this. He says, in the book Finishing the Hat, he says of this particular song that we just heard, some of the images here may seem poetic, and he uses quotes for that, in the way I deplore, but I would claim that they are the expression of an inarticulate, excited young man. They are not measured, they are not written, once again, he says in quotes. So he wants it to be all of a rush.
Right.
And that's what the song sounds like. It sounds like an outpouring, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It's not.
Yeah. Yeah, we probably haven't got time today to go into the whole of West Side Story, but suffice it to say that it's a sort of between two gangs, isn't it? Sharks and Jets,
yes.
Set in New York, based but loosely on Romeo and Juliet.
Yes, and for the Capulets and the Montagues, it's the Jets and the Sharks instead of the Shakespearean gangs.
Right.
Groups.
And there's a sort of an interracial conflict.
Right. Actually, I've just noticed here it says the lovers are Tony, who is Romeo,
Yeah.
A former member of the Jets, it says, and Maria.
Right.
So that was Tony singing there.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think doesn't he try to get out of the gang because it's considered too violent and he wants to give up his gang life and get involved with Natalie Wood or something.
Yeah.
But the interracial aspect is quite interesting because that leads us to his great mentor, who was Oscar Hammerstein.
Right.
Perhaps we don't want to get onto that yet. But he was. Do you want to speak about Hammerstein later? Because he started, didn't he, with Showboat and then Oklahoma, which both had a kind of a racial theme.
Yes. Well, I don't think that Sondheim working on West Side Story was any kind of choice on his part. He was selected for it, so it's not.
Okay.
He's not choosing to work on a sort of a Puerto Rican themed. It's not a political act on his part. Probably we could get to Hammerstein later,
right,
when we talk about the importance of Hammerstein in his life.
Yeah.
Because he was absolutely crucial to Sondheim. So the next one is A Boy Like That from West Side Story.
Right. Should we go? You want to play that now?
Yeah.
A boy like that would kill him rather forget that boy and find another one of your own kind. Stick to your own kind. A boy like that will give him sorrow. You'll meet another boy tomorrow. One of your own kind, stick to your own kind. A boy who kills cannot love. A boy who kills has no heart. And he's the boy who gets your love and gets your heart. Very smart, Maria, very smart. A boy like that wants one thing only. When he's done, he'll leave you lonely. He'll murder your love, he murdered mine. Just wait and see, just wait, Maria. Just wait and see.
Oh, no, Anita, no. Anita, no. It isn't true, not for me. It's true for you, not for me. I hear your words and in my head I know they're smart. But my heart, Anita, but my heart. You were in love, or so you said. You should know better. I have a love, and it's all that I have, right or wrong. I'm here.
So that was that track's called A Boy Like That from West Side Story. The theme of today's programme and a couple of other programmes will be the lyrics of Stephen Sondheim.
Yes.
And his,
in fact, I noticed in the book that it's called A Boy Like That, I Have a Love. So it's a kind of call and it's not call and response, but the first part is sung by a character, Anita, who is warning Maria of falling in love with somebody who may bring her down because
right.
of certain things. And then Maria's response is really she can't heed the words, really.
Right, right. It's probably one of the less well-known tracks from the...
yes, hopefully.
From
yes.
West Side Story.
And it's quite it's quite interesting the way that the structure of the song is quite interesting in that it starts out with this great vigorousness, this mm-hmm. vigorous protest.
Yeah.
And appeal to Maria, and then she goes into this very soft, almost operatic
yeah.
way of singing
yeah.
about how she feels about Tony.
Who's the actual voice? Do we know?
Well, you've probably got the details there on the. It's,
okay.
It won't. I don't. I doubt that it's Natalie Wood.
No. No. Okay. Well, we can try and check out who it was singing actually, but not Natalie
because
Wood.
Because
the part in the film, of course.
Yes, there were so many.
Is it her and George Chakiris who are the lovers? As
no,
it
no. Tony no? is.
Oh, Tony. Okay.
Tony is played by another actor. I don't know quite
right.
what his name.
Is, right.
Have you got him there?
Tony is Richard Boehmer.
Right.
And then Riff, Russ Tamblyn and so on. Bernardo is George Chakiris. All right. So maybe we're going to... Well, of course, the music was by Leonard Bernstein.
Yeah.
So that's probably not the most typical of Stephen Sondheim's work.
No, this is just one... He had written and had produced other pieces of work prior to this, but I think this is the sort of this must have been the breakthrough piece for him, in which his name became synonymous with an incredibly important composer.
Yeah,
and this project, which actually was a turning point in musical theatre, really. This
yeah,
and it still sounds incredibly strong these years later, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah.
It sounds incredibly.
Wasn't there a story about him on the credits or something? Didn't he do some deal with Leonard Bernstein in the back of a car?
Really?
Yeah, yeah, and they sort of I think Bernstein agreed. They struck this deal where
yeah.
Bernstein said, "Yeah, okay, I'll put your name up on the credits then,"
yes,
because it was proving to be very successful.
Yes,
and they did a deal, and Sondheim apparently was so overjoyed. Said, "Oh yeah, thanks very much.
Yeah.
I won't take any royalties then."
Oh really?
And so apparently,
oh,
it seems like he didn't earn any money from it at all.
Yes.
Even though it sort of went on.
Well, I think
for years,
even people who know Sondheim better than I do. Don't always. It takes a while before you know that he did do the lyrics for West Side Story. It's not exactly a secret, but people know more about the later stuff, I suppose.
So, what do we want to do? Do you want to talk about his early, you know, the background yet?
We need to go to his. Although we keep talking about Oscar Hammerstein, I think the person who comes first, really, he doesn't come first in the sort of chronology of Sondheim's life. Oscar Hammerstein comes first. In the sense of his influence, but possibly if we talk about Milton Babbitt, who Sondheim was taught composition by Babbitt at Williamstown College, which is described as a prominent liberal arts college.
Uh-huh.
Sondheim was taught first by somebody called Robert Barrow, and then he went on to study composition with the composer Milton Babbitt.
Right. So here it says, I mean, we've got one track by Babbitt, haven't we?
Yes.
Which we're going to play.
It might be interesting just to read this bit out here, in which it says that Sondheim told biographer Merrill Seacrest, "I just wanted to study composition theory and harmony without the attendant musicology that comes in graduate school, but I knew I wanted to write for the theatre. So I wanted someone who did not disdain theatre music. Milton, who was a frustrated show composer, was a perfect combination." That's the end of the quote. Babbitt and Sondheim were both fascinated with mathematics. And in fact, Sondheim had wanted to study did study mathematics for a while. And together they studied songs by various composers, especially Jerome Kern. Sondheim told Seacrest that Kern had the ability to develop a single motif through tiny variations into a long and never boring line, and his maximum development of the minimum of material. Sondheim then said of Babbitt, and this is a quote from Sondheim, time. I am his maverick, his one student who went into the popular arts with all his serious artillery.
So we're going to play a track called All Set for Jazz Ensemble from 1957.
Right.
We might not play all of it. We could possibly fade
it
out.
It's fairly long,
yeah.
Yes.
It says here, Babbitt is a founder and member of the Committee of Direction, Electronic Music Center of Columbia, Princeton Universities, and a member of the editorial board of Perspectives of New Music. So he had sort of avant-garde experimental credentials, didn't
Definitely,
he?
Definitely, yes, but it sounds, according to this quote from Sondheim, he also had this hankering for...
Yeah, he sort of wanted to...
Yes.
Yeah, wanted for show music.
Yeah.
All right, well, we'll play some Milton Babbitt and
okay.
We'll see how we get on with it.
Yeah.
That. That's a piece by Milton Babbitt called All Set for Jazz Ensemble 1957 for alto saxophone, tenor saxophone, trumpet, trombone, contrabass, piano, vibraphone and percussion. So he was one of Sondheim's first sort of teachers or mentors.
Yes, it seems that when Sondheim was at this place called Williams College, he won a prize. I'm just looking for that. He won some sort of prize which enabled him to go on to study with Milton Babbitt.
Uh-huh.
In 1950, he graduates from Williams and he receives the Hutchinson Prize, I don't know what that is, which allows him to study under Milton Babbitt.
Right, okay. But he hankered to sort of break out of the academy, it seems, because this would have been, he actually wanted to get into show business, it seems, or in some way.
Well, yes, and that comes, to a great extent, it probably does come via his relationship with Oscar Hammerstein II.
Mm.
And I'm reading from some text I have here. It says that about the age of 10, around the time of his parents' divorce, Sondheim became friends with James Hammerstein, son of the lyricist and playwright Oscar Hammerstein II. The elder Hammerstein became Sondheim's surrogate father and had a profound influence on him, especially in developing a love for musical theatre. I think Sondheim had an extremely unhappy childhood. He was an only child, and he was, I think he has said somewhere, I can't quote it verbatim, but he was actually, he doesn't say it, wishing to in any other way than as a matter of fact, but his mother was quite abusive towards him.
Right.
And actually treated him in the same way that she treated his father. You know, tirades and all the rest. And I think I've read somewhere that she actually said to him once, "I wish you'd never been born."
Yes, I've got that. That's one of the quotes I found.
Right.
It seems that the mother was just before having open heart surgery.
Oh God!
She confided in Stephen Sondheim. She said,
"Confided."
she said, "My one regret in life, and that was giving birth to you."
That's enough to drive you in the arms of someone. But
sort of thing you might remember.
Fortunately, yeah. He was driven into the arms of Oscar Hammerstein, and they had an incredibly close relationship.
Right.
Loving and supportive and all the things you'd hope for with a parent, really.
Right.
But
it has to be said, I think the mother was described as being, she was somewhat sort of pushy in a way. I think she introduced him to Oscar Hammerstein.
I think I have seen that somewhere, yeah.
So that wasn't too bad. Just as a sideline or something. His name is extraordinary, Hammerstein. It's Oscar Greeley Clendenning Hammerstein II.
Yes, and sort of reflects quite well his parental, background. His mother was Scottish and English, and his father was Russian-Jewish or German-Jewish. So they've managed to combine all, I imagine, the Glendenning or whatever it is.
It's the
Scottish part.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
And we didn't have time, did we? But we were hoping to, but by some extraordinary coincidence,
yeah.
Or perhaps it's not so extraordinary, it turns out there's a memorial plaque to Oscar Hammerstein in Southwark Cathedral.
Yes, that's just the most amazing thing. You must go and have a look.
About 300 yards from here.
Yeah, incredible, really.
So we're going to go and have a look at that afterwards.
Definitely,
to try
we'll report back about where it is and what it looks like and all the rest. As a way of integrating Hammerstein and his contribution to musical theatre into this conversation, if I could just read something else from the first volume of Stephen Sondheim's book of lyrics, Finishing the Hat. Sondheim says, "It was Hart, Berlin, Cole Porter and their contemporaries who ushered in a colloquial revolution." He's talking about lyrics. They instilled the way we actually speak into the formalised artifice of theatre songwriting. But it was Hammerstein experimenting with the dramatic equivalent of this in Showboat from 1927 who made the first serious attempt to focus on unique feelings of individual characters in specific situations through the lens of a realistic, although period vernacular, and all in a show that dealt with taboo subjects such as racial prejudice and miscegenation. Showboat was startlingly different and difficult for audiences more comfortable with traditional musical theatre. It wasn't until Oklahoma from 1943 that Hammerstein's influence flowered. The one great pre-Oklahoma exception, of course, was Porgy and Bess, with Dubose Hayward's lyrics and George Gershwin's music. Completely individualised characters were created for the first time in Broadway musical history.
Yeah.
So Hammerstein is right there at the dawn of a new way.
Absolutely, because it predates the Gershwin one by about 10 years. Porgy and Bess.
Really?
Oh, yeah. It's 1927, I think. Whereas Gershwin's is 1935.
Is it really?
Which includes Summertime, of course, which was the...
Yes. You know,
But yeah, it's interesting that they all. To be honest, I can't remember if they use a black cast or not.
In Porgy and Bess?
Well, in either of them, actually.
In Porgy and Bess, they certainly do.
They do, right.
But in. I mean, wouldn't
Showboat.
Wouldn't Paul Robeson have had some?
Oh, possibly. Yes, that's true. That's right. Old Man River. Yeah.
Old Man River. And now I mention Paul Robeson, I'm getting the idea of what is so good about some musical theatre is the opportunity for being political. Actually, obviously, that's what you can do with the form.
Yeah.
You can slip things in.
And then later, Hammerstein also did Carmen Jones. In 1943, and then a film was made of that in 1954, and that had an all-black cast.
Yeah, and that's also another
based on Carmen.
Yes, but isn't it set in a sort of cigar factory and there's sort of
yes, I think so.
There's some political sort of stuff going
Absolutely.
On about that too.
Yeah, yeah.
So it is a good way of
exactly
having your cake and eating it.
Now,
so Oklahoma then.
Yeah, so we're going to play a track from Oklahoma.
Yeah.
Any particular reason for this track?
Just because the lyrics may have been formative for Sondheim.
Okay.
You know, the lyrics are
quite.
I don't know.
Curious, aren't they?
Yeah,
in
curious.
A way,
yeah,
because they leave you thinking, what
is
this
Surrey
about?
With the fringe
actually,
on top?
It's called the Surrey with the Fringe on Top,
yeah.
And I think the Surrey is a name of a kind of carriage, isn't it?
I'm not really sure, but
I
going back
it is,
to the Laura Nyro, she uses Surrey as well, doesn't
she?
In that song,
yes, that's right.
Surrey.
Yeah, yeah.
She uses it as a sort of
Surrey
chanting.
On down. She
Surrey
says.
On down. So I should have looked it up. Definitely. Yeah. What the?
All right. Yeah. Well, let's play this Hammerstein track then.
When I take you out tonight with me, honey, here's the way it's gonna be. You will sit behind a team of snow-white horses in the slickest gig you ever see. Chicks and ducks and geese better scurry when I take you out in the Surrey. When I take you out in the Surrey with the fringe on top. Watch that fringe and see how it flutters when I drive them high-steppin' strutters. Nosy pokes will peek through the shutters and their eyes will pop. The wheels are yellow, the upholstery's brown, the dashboard's genuine leather. With eyes and glass curtains, you can roll right down in case there's a change in the weather. Two bright side lights winking and blinking. Ain't no finer rig, I'm a thinking. You can keep your rig if you're thinking that I'd care to swap for that shiny little Surrey with the fringe on the top.
Would you say the fringe was made of silk?
Wouldn't have no other kind but silk.
Has it really got a team of snow-white horses?
One's like snow, the other's more like milk. All the world will fly in a flurry when I take you out in the Surrey. When I take you out in the Surrey with the fringe on top. When we hit that road hell for leather, cats and dogs will dance in the heather, birds and frogs will sing all together, and the toads will hop. The wind will whistle as we rattle along, the cows will moo in the clover, the river will ripple out a whispered song and whisper it over and over. Don't you wish it go on forever? Don't you wish it go on forever? Don't you wish it go on forever? And it never stop in that shiny little Surrey with the fringe on the top. I can see the stars getting blurry when we ride back home.
Surrey, riding slowly home in the Surrey with the fringe on top. I can feel the day getting older, feel a sleepy head near my shoulder, nodding, drooping close to my shoulder till it falls kerplop. The sun is swimming on the rim of a hill, the moon is taking a header, and just as I'm thinking all the earth is still, a lark will wake up in the meadow. Hush, you bird, my baby's a-sleeping, maybe got a dream worth a-keeping. Whoa, you team, and just keep a-creeping at a slow clip clop. Don't you hurry with the Surrey with the fringe on the top.
Right. Well, that's Surrey with a fringe on top from Oklahoma.
Yep.
Written by, is it only Hammerstein, or is it one of these teams? Is it Hammerstein? Oh, Rodgers and Hammerstein.
Rodgers and Hammerstein, yeah.
Okay.
So should we quickly move on to... we can revisit Hammerstein if we do another.
Yeah, okay. I mean, perhaps you can persuade me a bit more of the relative merits of the... I mean, I must admit, I find it somewhat cloying. Personally.
Yes, I don't. It was hard. I couldn't think of. I don't particularly like any of the songs on the soundtrack. I have to say myself, but it's just to illustrate the point about the, you know, Hammerstein being sometimes mentor. Perhaps I should have chosen Showboats or.
Not necessarily, but you know, I mean, he has to be. He is the man that brought us the Sound of Music as well.
Right.
Obviously, a devout populist.
Yes, I suppose so. Although there is a dark heart in Oklahoma.
Absolutely, that's true, isn't it?
An absolutely dark heart. And and so the music may actually be, misleading in that sense.
Yeah,
there may be all sorts of motifs and, things going on within the lyrics themselves, which are embedding some sort of darker heart to the thing.
Indeed. If you see clips from the film with Rod Steiger and so on, and sort of burning
There's
barns
burning
and so on, there is a dark side to the film.
Yeah.
Which doesn't necessarily come across in the individual tracks.
No.
All
but
right.
Maybe that's the only way you can get things produced is to lighten things up and then get some part of your ideas across.
Okay. What's this next one?
The next one is Gypsy, which is from 1959.
Right.
And it's from a book. Sondheim often does work from books. I think he has said somewhere that that's largely to do with the fact that he doesn't do plot lines and that sort of thing. His thing is the composition and the lyrics.
Uh-huh.
So he sort of needs, ideally, that framework that is pre-existing. So this is a book by Arthur Lawrence, and in brackets here it says, suggested by the memoirs of Gypsy Rose Lee. The music is by Julie Stein, so we still don't have Sondheim marrying his two talents yet. The reason apparently that Sondheim was keen to do this particular job was that it meant working with a Broadway legend called Ethel Merman, who was something else in her own right.
Yeah.
But perhaps if we just do that song.
Should we just play this song
play
first?
The song.
So this is from Gypsy. Is this Ethel Merman singing in this one?
Yeah, this is just Ethel Merman.
Okay.
I had a dream about you, baby. It's gonna come true, baby. They think that we're through, but baby, you'll be swell, you'll be great. Gonna have the whole world on a plate. Starting here, starting now, honey, every
a bow. Honey, everything's coming up roses. Now you're in it. Stand the world on its ear. Set it spinning. That'll be just the beginning. Turn up, light the lights. You got nothing to hit but the heights. You'll be swell, you'll be great. I can tell, just you wait. That lucky star I talk about is due. Honey, everything's coming up. Roses for me and for you. You can do it. All you need is a hand.
So that's Ethel Merman from Gypsy.
That's right, yeah.
Which was, the words are by Sondheim,
yes.
But not the music in this case.
No, the music's by Julie Stein, I think.
So just to just say you're listening to Wavelength on Resonance 104.4 FM, and this is the first part of a probably a three-part series about Stephen Sondheim, who happens to have something on at the moment, I think, at the Chocolate Factory, called The Assassins.
Yes, that's a relatively recent one, compared to these anyway. I think that was from 1990.
Yeah, and that is sold out. All the performances are sold out right up until March.
It is a very small theatre, and they are known for doing Sondheim there.
It does sound intriguing. I'd quite like to see that, because it's sort of about a series of assassins of presidents and so on, isn't it, through the ages, which, a bit like Sweeney Todd, sort of is a kind of more cutting.
Yes. I think here what we're listening to here are the formative years of somebody trying to find their way in this business.
Yeah.
You know, this isn't something that he, you know, this isn't his thing really.
Right.
I think we won't see and feel that for some time. It's why I think it's quite good to get this over with, in a way, because this is not him at his best. It's not him as I like to listen to him. There's lots more interesting.
What do you think is his best? What do you say?
The one that I always sort of play in my head is called Company, and that's from 1970. Yeah. And I think he's really finding his feet then.
Right.
And that's a modern, it was modern then, piece about a bachelor who's 35. But the lyrics are just incredible. You know, funny, witty, just the human condition is just laid bare in this play.
Yeah.
And it's a rollicking good musical.
Yeah. And is that the one that includes Being Alive? Is
it
that one?
It certainly does, yeah.
Yeah. I just have to interject briefly to say that Resonance 104.4 FM's annual fundraising week starts from the 9th of February until the 15th. With the funds, we aim to trial a DAB service, overhaul our website and increase the range of our FM broadcast beyond central London. Details of the fundraiser, events and listings for our annual auction can be found at fundraiser.resonance.fm. And we at Wavelength have contributed a magnificent oil painting by the Israeli artist Menachem Geffen, measuring 2 feet by 3 feet, portrait of a woman who probably isn't Diana Rigg, who Menachem Geffen was married to later. So don't miss that. Sandra, where are we going?
Okay, so if we speed on so we can just, get to the end of this this rather...
We're running out of time.
This early section of Sondheim. The next one tracks from A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Forum, which starred at the time. It was 1962, Zero Mostel. There was a reprise of the role by Phil Silvers in the early 70s. So this is a play going right back to the start of musical theatre. It's about the Greeks. And so it's a farce.
Right.
And so Sondheim, who likes complication in his life, seems to have taken this on board as a way of figuring out how you can turn a farce into a musical. What we're hearing, what we're going to hear, is not actually from that production. We have to hear a group of players, Millicent Martin, Julia McKenzie, and Ned Sheeran, who used to put on a show called Side by Side by Sondheim, which was on at the Mermaid Theatre. And that's more of what I call a mashup. It's a mashup of songs, which, and because they are humorous, satirists, that's what they try to get out of the songs. They look for those elements in the songs.
Okay.
Complications,
nothing portentous or polite. Tragedy tomorrow, comedy tonight. Something aesthetic,
something frenetic,
something for everyone, a comedy tonight. Something erratic,
something dramatic,
something for everyone, a comedy tonight.
Nothing with gods, nothing with fate.
Weighty affairs will just have to wait.
Nothing that's formal,
nothing that's normal.
No recitations to recite.
Open up the curtain.
Love is in the air,
quite clearly.
People everywhere
act queerly.
Some are hasty, some are halting, some are simply somersaulting.
Love is going around.
Anyone exposed
can catch it.
Keep your window closed
and latch it. Leave your house.
Lose your reason. This is the contagious season.
Love is going around. It's spreading
each minute.
Throughout the whole vicinity,
step out and you're in it
with all the fun involved.
Who can stay uninvolved?
Love is in the air.
This morning,
bachelors beware.
Fair warning,
if you start to feel a tingle and you like remaining single,
stay home, don't take a breath.
You could catch your death.
Cause love is wrong.
Love is wrong.
Love is wrong.
Something that's gaudy, something that's gaudy,
something for everybody.
Prince and Robert,
strictly symbolic.
Something for everyone, a comedy tonight.
Nothing that's grim, nothing that's Greek.
She plays Medea later this week.
Stunning surprises, cunning disguises.
So that's from Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Forum. And over the next couple of weeks, maybe, or in a 2 or 3 weeks' time, we'll continue with this, with the Sondheim career.
Yeah.
Anything you can tell me about this one?
Well, like I said, it's by three performers.
Oh, right.
Julia McKenzie, Millicent Martin, Ned Sheeran, who used to do a review called Side by Side by Sondheim, which is actually a line from Company, the play I was mentioning earlier.
Yeah, yeah.
But they would do a mashup of songs from all of Sondheim.
Right.
But as I said, because they were satirists,
you'd
get that element. And you get the Englishness too.
Oh, yes.
It's the first time we've heard English singers singing, and it's a very different thing.
Yeah.
If we could go into another one, which is from A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Forum.
Yes.
But it's from Mandy Patinkin Sings Sondheim. Now, I think he has to be left for another program to describe just how amazing he is.
Yeah.
But if we could just hear that one.
We will finish with Mandy Patinkin because it lasts about... Well, it lasts nearly 4 minutes. So, perhaps Mandy Patinkin, of course, is the actor who features in Homeland, and he has this extraordinary falsetto voice, doesn't he? And is he a sort of Sondheim favourite? I think doesn't he appear in many of the?
He does, and we will be hearing the masterpiece, the Pulitzer Prize winning masterpiece, which is called Sunday in the Park with George.
Oh right,
which has got Mandy in the role of George, the painter.
Right, so that will be in a future programme.
Yeah.
Next week we have Bob Parks rapping on about Malevich. So. Wavelength is certainly nothing if not diverse. We have to end with Patinkin singing Free.
Okay. Well, if I could substitute that then, if we're going to end with Potemkin, can we just do the final one from Anyone Can Whistle? Since we've had a bit from Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Forum.
I don't think we can, unless I change the CD. But let's play a bit of Free, and then perhaps we can overlap with something from Anyone Can Whistle.
You are free. I am what? You are free.
Free, 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 free. What a word, what a word. I've often thought, I've often dreamed how it would be. And yet I never thought I'd be. But when you come to think of such things, a man should have the rights that all others. Can you imagine what it will be like when I am? Can you see me? Can you see me as a Roman with my head unbowed? Sing it good and loud, free. Like a Roman having rights and like a Roman proud. Can you see me? I can see you. Can you see me as a voter fighting graft and vice? Sing it soft and nice, free. Why, I'll be so conscientious that I may...
So this is the extraordinary voice of Mandy Patinkin.
Yes, that's right. A voice like no other.
Yeah, exactly.
He is utterly unique, doesn't do it, really.
No, no. I mean, he's a big man, but a falsetto voice.
Yep.
Which he... I mean, he's capable of singing with great gusto as well, of course. We saw him perform once, didn't we, on St. Martin's Lane?
Yeah.
Where people, I think, in the front row were sort of got sprayed with his...
Yeah, he's a very muscular performer. He gives everything he's got, absolutely everything, and then some.
So we're going to overlap with the last track, which is From Anyone Can Whistle.
Which was a failure as a play, apparently. It was pulled from Broadway when I think it was the early 60s again. It was pulled because it wasn't successful for some reason. But Potemkin, the way he sings this song, you can't believe that it wouldn't be successful. So it's called Everybody Says Don't.
Don't, everybody says don't, everybody says don't. It isn't right, don't. It isn't nice. Everybody says don't, everybody says don't. Everybody says don't walk on the grass. Don't disturb the peace. Don't skate on the ice. Well, I say do. I say, walk on the grass, it was meant to feel. I say, sail, tilt at the windmill, and if you fail, you fail. Everybody says don't, everybody says don't, everybody says don't get out of line. When they say that then, buddy, that's a sign. 9 times out of 10, buddy, you are doing just fine. Make just a ripple, come on, come on, come on, come on, be brave. This time a ripple, next time a wave. Sometimes you have to start small, climbing the tiniest wall. Maybe you're going to fall, but it's better than not starting at all. Everybody says no, everybody says stop, everybody says mustn't rock the boat, mustn't touch a thing. Everybody says don't, everybody says wait, everybody says can't fight City Hall, can't upset the cart, can't laugh at the king. Well, I say try, I say laugh at the kings or they'll make you cry. Lose your poise, fall if you have to, but buddy, make a noise. Everybody says don't, everybody says can't, everybody says wait around for miracles. That's the way.
You're listening to Resonance 104.4 FM.